Good morning to you. It's good to see you. If you would go ahead and take your note sheet out. If some of you are following on the app, do that right now. Let's get ready to jump right in to today's teaching. If you did not receive an outline, maybe you're new with us, this is a church that takes notes, and we fill in the blanks during the message. So if you did not receive one, just lift your hands up. Service host, make sure everyone has something to follow along with. There's pens in the seat backs there in front of you. If there's not, just bum one off a friend next to you. Just say, hey, I'm going to take some notes here. We're talking about one word in this series that we kicked off last week. And what is that word? Look down on your notes. What is that word? Come on, help me out. What is it? Momentum. Let's say it out loud together. Momentum. Momentum deals with moving power. Everyone say, moving power. The tendency of an object in physics to keep moving, but we're not talking about an object, we're talking about our lives. The tendency of a person to continue repeating success. Momentum. The tendency of a person or a family to continue making progress. Momentum. Living with the help and the strength of God. Scripture identifies seven things that will zap the momentum. That's the tendency in our lives towards success that will zap the strength and the help of God in our lives. And we're unpacking these, how to avoid them, and then how to regain the help and the strength of God in our lives. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's begin. If the words are up there, I want you to read it with me. There are six things the Lord hates, no, seven things, literally, that are an abomination to Him. These are the seven things that we are to avoid and for us to have the wind of God in the sails of our lives. The first thing He identifies is what? Haughty or arrogant eyes. We talked about that, unpacked that. The first thing in regaining momentum that causes the strength of God to be zapped in our lives is pride. The second thing, if it's still up there, is what? Deals with now. We move from our eyes now to our mouths. Lying what? A lying tongue. Tongue. Aren't you glad you came to church? We're going to talk about this topic right here. So you have your notes out. I want us to, we're going to unpack this thought, lying. And I just want to just begin by saying that we live in an environment where lies are constantly being barraged by lies, that sometimes I think we just think that is the way things ought to be. But the Lord says, I hate a lying tongue. So just in beginning, let's get a definition. So we're all starting on the same page. Let's just all put a definition down for lying. You probably already know what it is, but just so we're on the same page, lying. Let's write something down here. And that is, lying is to give a false statement. Now, here's the key phrase, with the intent. It's not just giving a false statement. That's not what we're talking about here, but giving a false statement with the intent, everyone say intent, with the intent to what? To deceive. Okay, now we're getting close to what lying is. It's also giving a false impression. Impression. I remember as a kid that I got a gift. I forget it was my birthday. I think it was my birthday, and I got a bicycle, and this bicycle was a trick bicycle, but it was a special bicycle where you could do tricks. It had the spokes sticking out and the wheels behind it you could stand on and the special neck and all this stuff that I just thought it was a cool bike. And I remember going to my friends and riding over there, and for the first time I heard I was called a perpetrator. And I really didn't know what a perpetrator was. Tell somebody, are you perpetrating? Come on. Ask them, say, are you perpetrating? Say, no, I'm not perpetrating. But I was like, I'm perpetrating, yeah, because you got a trick bike, but you don't know how to do any tricks. And I still remember that. Here I'm 43 years old, and I still remember that I was called a perpetrator. Because to them, I was giving a false impression. So giving a false statement with the intent to deceive, giving a false impression. What else do we have there? To speak untruth knowingly, with intent and purpose. What are we talking about here when we're lying? We're talking about deceiving. That gets close to it. Deceiving, deception. Now, ways that we lie. The best ways that we can think about this, as I was thinking, is when we're put on a witness stand, we give an oath. And in that oath, we get clues to the ways that we lie. That oath goes, we raise our right hand, sometimes we put our hand on a Bible, and we say, I promise to tell the, come on, help me out, I promise to tell the truth. What's the next phrase? Okay, that's important because that's a way that we lie. I'm going to tell the truth. Now, what I mean by that is the what? The whole truth, and then the next phrase is very important, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, let's just in ways so we're all starting on the same page, because this is a big deal with God, and we're talking about momentum. We need to unpack this a little bit. Two fundamental ways that we lie is, first way is we can tell direct lies, and this is just what we would call a bold-faced, just outright lie. So we can directly lie. The second way, and this one's the way that most of us camp out right here, the second way that we lie is that we can tell indirect lies. Now, what's that mean? We give an inaccurate or an incomplete picture of what really happened. We give an incomplete picture or reflection of what really happened. So the whole truth and nothing but the truth. What's the way, how are ways that we lie indirectly? Well, we can exaggerate. We add to the truth, but we're supposed to tell nothing just but the truth. We minimize. We evade. We sidestep. Let's put this in reality. Let's put this in a picture so we can picture it. So let's pretend here just for a moment that your spouse goes away on a business trip. You're home, you're bored, a friend calls and says, hey, let's go out. So you go out, you end up at a bar, and you have one too many drinks, and you're not thinking clearly, and you begin to flirt with an attractive stranger next to you. You kiss, and then you go home. The next morning, your spouse calls. You pick up the phone. Your spouse says, what did you do last night? Now, here's the question. How are you going to answer that? What did you do last night? Let's get back on the witness stand. I promise to tell the truth. That's not enough. What's the next phrase? The whole truth and what? Nothing but. Now, let me just submit. I'm just going to suggest 9 times out of 10, the majority of us, 9 times out of 10, we are not going to tell the truth. When we're asked, what did you do last night? In fact, the majority of us in here, I'm just suggesting, you can disagree with me, 9 times out of 10, we're not going to tell a direct, bold-faced lie. Why? Because a direct, bold-faced lie can usually be checked up on. You can check the facts, make some phone calls to find. So we usually stay away from a bold-faced lie. So what did you do last night? Oh, nothing, just stayed at home, watched TV. So we probably won't say that. But what we will say, for many of us, is we will we'll do something to evade, sidestep, not really tell the truth. It might go something like this. So your spouse says, what did you do last night? And you say, I don't know, what'd you do? And so we, just kind of evade, and or a very common one is we'll tell a half-truth. And this makes us feel less guilty. Why? Because we're telling some of the truth. We're just leaving out some details. And so we can rationalize it in a way where we think we're telling the truth, but a half-truth is not the truth. Aren't you so glad you came to church? We're just unpacking this idea of how to regain the momentum and the strength and the help of God in our lives. And the second step in it is, are we telling the truth? And so it might go something like this. So what'd you do last night? Well, I went out with a friend, and you know, we had some drinks and came home. Which is the truth. It's just not the whole truth. And it makes us feel better, but the problem is the person that we're talking to, it makes them feel like when they find out that they're being misled. And that's what we're talking about. Misleading. Deceiving. Subtly. Give you an example of this in real life. We had a hectic schedule one evening. And I think I've told this before, but it was, I was wanting to catch up with a friend. It was getting later in the day, late in the evening. And it started to look like it was going to rain. Jill was running the kids everywhere, had dropped Charlie off at football practice, was running the other kids somewhere else, and she called and said, I'm afraid it's going to rain, and they're going to cancel practice, and Charlie's going to be the only one without a parent there. Will you make sure you're there and you know, at his practice? And I said, sure, I'll be there. And so about a couple minutes later, she called and she said, are you on your way to Charlie's practice? And I said, yes. And technically, it's true. Technically, I was on my way to Charlie's practice. But first, I was dropping in to see my friend. And then after I saw my friend, then I was going. So I was technically on my way. Now, the reason I'm telling that story is to alert all the guys of a little thing called location services on your phone. I'm just kidding. That's not the reason I'm telling the story. But seriously, location services. Because the little blue dot showed me going away from Charlie's practice and not towards Charlie's practice. Now, what did that do to Jill and I's? We're talking about, because that's the next question we're going to get to, is what's the big deal about telling lies, whether direct or indirect, small or large, whatever it is? What did that do to our relationship? What entered in to that relationship? Let's go ahead and ask the question. What's the big deal about telling lies? Now, let's begin. Jesus is in a fascinating debate, argument, reasoning with some very intelligent, God-honoring religious people, the Pharisees. This is John chapter 8. If you've never read this before, you might this week sometime just pull it out and just read the argument that's happening there. But they're talking, and finally they reach a point where the Pharisees are arguing. They say, we have Abraham as our father, as if to say that because their physical lineage is from Abraham, that they have some special relationship with God. And Jesus says, yes, you have Abraham as your father, but he's not really your father. Well, wait a second. He is our father, and you're saying he's not our father. He's not your father in your spirit and in your attitude. Because if Abraham was truly your father in spirit and attitude, then you would listen to me. We could have a conversation, but you're not even, you're closed mind, you're not even listening to me. Now, I want to pick it up right here where Jesus says, this is in verse 43. This is Jesus. He says, why can't you understand what I'm saying? It is because you can't even hear me. You can't even listen to me. Now look at 44. Just consider Jesus' words. For you are the children of your father. What? Now this is difficult, but this is John's account of Jesus here. You're of your father. You can't listen to me because what I tell is the truth. And people who want to know the truth will listen to me, but you're of your father what? The devil. Let's keep going here. See what he says about the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. What are those evil things? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has all, come on, say it with me. He has always hated the truth. And because there is no truth, how much truth is in him? There's none. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with who? With his character. Wow. It's in alignment with who he is. When he lies, it's consistent with his character. Let's keep going. Four, Jesus says he is a what? He is a liar and the what? The father of lies. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. He's the father of deception. The deceiver from the beginning, he's been the deceiver. He's the father of half-truths. I love to tell people half-truths, but not the whole truth. And if I do tell them the truth, I'm going to add to it. So maybe it's camouflaged a little bit. The father of half-truths, of distortion, of misrepresentation, he's the father of the spin. What can I do? What can I say to get them to believe this or that? Listen, so just as we're beginning, we're talking about why is it a big deal? We are never more like the devil and unlike God than when we lie. When it's a little lie, when it's a little misrepresentation, when I look on someone else's paper and get a grade that doesn't really represent what I know. And we could just go on and on and on. We're never further or never more unlike God than when we lie. So just at the very beginning, we think about, okay, let's just stop here. What's the big deal? I mean, we live in a society, everyone just lies, right? Well, the big deal, if Jesus is to be taken seriously, is that lying literally cuts us off right from the get-go. It cuts us off from the strength and the help, from the momentum of God in our lives. So whenever there's a cover-up, a misrepresentation, a deception, a half-truth, just know where the source is coming from. Dig down to the root. You're going to find at the root of it, it's coming from the deceiver himself. Number two, this probably is the most damning part of lying is this. We already know this. This is just a reminder, is that lying undermines belief. And what's that word, belief? It undermines trust. Trust. Trust, just in way of a reminder, is the basic building block of all relationships. I want you to think about this. Friendships built on trust. Marriages, families built on businesses. You know what? Government itself is built on trust. The school system is built on trust. What's happening right now in church? Church is built on this trust. Now, I want to ask you a question. What happens? We could keep going with that thought, but What happens when trust, belief, confidence, what happens when that's broken? I want you to just think about it. What happens? Here's the crazy thing. If we just pull out for a second and just kind of shake our heads, today we have whole industries and careers that are built on the ability to misrepresent and to distort. Let me back up. There are whole vocations. This is how I make money. It's the necessity and the ability to distort and misrepresent. Imagine just for a moment if a business just came out with it and said, our mission is to deceive and to spin and to fabricate. We want to do whatever it takes to win, to capitalize, to grow, and to make the deal. Well, Pastor Charlie, no business is going to just come out and just tell you that. Well, let me ask you some questions. What news agency do you trust? Do you have confidence in? And why has that confidence or that trust eroded? You know, just the other day, I was on one news station, and I heard a story they were reporting, and it just sounded just awful, unbelievable. And then I turned on another news station, the same story, and it was being almost celebrated as the best thing. And I'm going, who do we believe? Who can I trust? Do you know which politician you believe anymore? To our shame, I was thinking about it. To our shame, the biggest offenders, to me, and to our shame, are the ones who are constantly haranguing and harping on moral issues and pounding, so to speak, the pulpit, saying America's in cultural wars, cultural wars, cultural wars. And yet you find out in their lives, for example, I just read of a Republican politician who spends all of his energy and rhetoric on anti-abortion, against abortion, against abortion, against abortion, and it just came out that he was encouraging his mistress to have an abortion. And we read these, they're almost just laughing, and we just read them, and we can subtly just think that this is the way things are supposed to be, and maybe we've lost something of the momentum, not only as individuals, listen, but as society. The help and the blessing and the strength of God. Maybe this is why so many couples today are putting off marriage. And we can point our finger at them and say, you guys should get, why aren't you getting married? You're not respecting marriage. But who's to blame them when they look around and they see so many relationships where there's not truth-telling, intimacy, honesty? You know what? Maybe that's why a lot of people have stopped coming to church. Why, Pastor Charlie? I want you to look at it. Because confidence and trust has been eroded. Why? Because they saw a lie. Maybe the church that they used to go to, they were hurt, or maybe they saw some scandal on television, and so their faith, its confidence, and their trust was eroded, and now they've left the family of God. I'll never forget a lady came in here, and I think it was her first time. She had never felt anything like she felt in God's house. It was all over. She came down to see me, and there was a little tears in her eyes, and she was just looking around. She said, is this real? And she said, I want to believe. she's looking at lights and stuff, and I wonder where that's coming from. Maybe that trust and that confidence has been eroded somehow. The only thing I knew to tell her, I said, well, yes, this is really the only thing this church has to offer, is just authenticity. Let's ask some questions here, just to make sure we're humanities in agreement, because we might not be on the same page. Let me just ask some questions. Parents, would you rather your kid tell you the truth, even if it's painful, or would you rather them just kind of leave out some details, just give you a little bit? Looking around here at all the parents. On the other side, students, would you rather your parents just cover something up, or for them to be honest with you? Would you prefer your financial advisor to spin the data in hopes of a better future, or to accurately convey your financial situation right now? How about your doctor? I was reading an article by Senator McCain, who's 80 years old, still serving, and he went to the doctor, and he was having some problems, and he just kept saying, it just struck me, shoot straight with me, doctor, shoot straight with me, doctor, shoot straight with me, tell me like it is. And he did not receive a good report, but he took it and said, okay, I'm going to finish out my days getting dressed in the morning and going to work and serving my country. Shoot straight with me. How about your pastor? You want a pastor whose scripture says is responsible for your soul? Do you want a pastor who just kind of leaves off some truths that might be uncomfortable? How about your mechanic? We could just go on and on and on. It seems like all of humanity is saying, I want the truth. Just the truth. Saw an article in the New York Times. The title of this article, I just had to stop and just read it. I want to share it with you. This was the title of the article: The Surprisingly Large Cost of Telling Small Lies. Let's read that together. The surprisingly large cost of telling small lies. Now, this was by Rebecca Campbell. She's a CEO, and she was doing a report, and she went to see an incredibly successful businessman who I won't name, but she asked him, what's the secret to success? And she thought it's going to be, hard work, be the smartest person in the room, blah, 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 all the stuff. And he said something just through her. He said this: the secret to success in business, and I love this, and in life, it's not just business, but the secret to success in business and in life is to never, ever, 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 what? Lie. Now, she's writing an article, and she says in her mind, she's already disagreeing with him. You know, what are you talking about? She's like, I lie all the time. I'm going to shade a little bit. I'm going to leave out some details that help to make the deal look a little better. And so she just began to question herself, is that true? Is that true? And then she says this question in the article, and I believe that this is what this whole message is about right here, and I believe the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, wants to ask each one of us this question about momentum. We're talking about momentum, remember? She asked herself this. If it's up there, I want you to read it with me. Could this be what has been holding? We'll stop right there. You came in here for something else. You came in here thinking this, but we're talking about living with the strength and the help of God. Could this be the very thing that's holding you back? Momentum deals with moving power. That means the ability, the strength to get to the next place, to get to the next level, to reach that place that I just can't seem to get to. Could this be the very thing that's keeping you back? I know you're sitting there going, "Well, no, I'm not a person that lies." Okay. Now I'm gonna quote right from the article. We're gonna put Rebecca up here, like as a witness. Okay. This is what she said. I'm gonna read right from the article. I decided to try an experiment. Get ready. This is a crazy experiment. This is the New York Times. I'm going to try an experiment. You ready? What's the experiment? Go figure. Seriously? The total truth? Let's keep going. The results have been striking. In an investor pitch 6 months ago when I ran through our financial model and budget, I was open about where money had been spent poorly because of mistakes I made. Even though there was no way the investor could have found this out on his own. I was nervous, but the majority of investors I pitched say no anyway. At the end of our conversation, he said, "I really appreciate how transparent you've been with me, Rebecca. Give me a day to think about it." The next day, he called back and invested. I was stunned. I've stuck with this philosophy ever since. I'm going to read again. I stuck with this philosophy ever since. It's transformed my sense of peace and coincided with our company's most productive period ever. And then she asked this question. Coincidence? And I say if we look to Scripture, it's no coincidence at all, Rebecca, because you're feeling the momentum of God. Why? Because I'm aligning myself with Him. And God is about truth. He'll never deceive you. God will never give you half truth. Wow. Could this be the very thing that's holding me back? Thirdly, reason why telling lies is such a big deal is that it has, if Scripture is to be taken seriously, it teaches that it has eternal consequences. From beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, the Scripture is unequivocal in this. Not only does not telling the truth have consequences in the here and now, but it has permanent consequences in the age to come. In the very last paragraphs of this entire book, in the book of Revelations, the entire Bible, John is reminding us, one of the very last things he's saying, he goes, everyone who drinks of the water that God freely gives, think about those words, God freely gives water, the water of life. Everyone who drinks of that water will inherit eternal life. And then these words come. But, so I want you to know that's God's intent. In fact, what's happening right now is water is being offered. Anyone who drinks, receive, inherit eternal life. But look what the Scripture says. This is in Revelation 21. It says, but, this is in verse 8, cowards, those who refuse to believe, who do evil things, who kill, who sin sexually, who do evil magic, who worship idols. And then there's this phrase, and who what? Who tell lies. All these will have a place in the lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Pastor Charlie, that's pretty difficult. You know what's difficult about it? Is that every single one of us, all of us, including Pastor Charlie, have told lies. You know that I was thinking, you know the very first way I got my credit card? I was in college and I opened up my mailbox, wouldn't get any mail from just looking for somebody to connect with me. And I got all these applications for credit cards. And I remember taking one out and I began to fill it out. I told the truth about my name, Charles David Whitlow, and everything else. I just lied. I had a great job. I'm in college making $30,000 a year. Said all kind of stuff. Just bold face. Just lie. Sent it off. A month later, guess what came in the mail? Had my credit card. Now, actually, now that I'm thinking back about it, I could have saved myself a lot of trouble. You mean this stuff is practical? It really works in life? Yeah, it does. It could have saved me a lot of trouble had I been filling out the application and I told the truth. Here's the question. We're all in the same boat. I'm sorry. What do we do? Well, let's look at a passage and see if we can't find Proverbs 28:13. We say, well, what do we do? Consider these words. You will never, this is scripture. If it's up there, read it with me. You will never succeed in life if you're doing the cover up, the distort, the you're never going to succeed. This isn't me in life. Now, there's a better way. You can tap into the mercy and the momentum of God if you do what? Look what the scripture says. Confess them and what? Give them up. Some of us in here are getting ready to have the wind of God blow into your life again. Why? Because you're going to leave today saying, Lord, I confess that I've been lying here or there or doing this and I forsake it. I'm going to stop it. And you're going to feel the mercy and the grace of God over your life. If you give them up, confess and give it up, then God will show you mercy. I began this way, but as we're closing, we are never more like God. And we are never closer to God and His blessings than when we're telling the truth and walking in that truth. We had a family talk with the kids because Jill and I got a new car. Actually, we started leasing a new car. And with the old car, the kids would bring their bicycles, ride them into the garage. And the only problem with that is the rubber on their handlebars has rubbed off and the metal sticks through. And there were hundreds of times, maybe 10, but where they would go in and just ding the car or actually, pedal 3 or 4 feet going down the side of the car. Shh. So now we're leasing the car, and I'm having a family talk. I'm like, Dad doesn't even own this car. Not even my car. And Mom and Dad aren't made out of money. That means right on or amen or someone point at me. They say, preaching good. So I'm just like, and they're looking at me, and I'm just like, so family rule, you cannot ride your bicycles into the garage. Mom's car's parked there, and you're scrat and all this stuff. You cannot do that. Well, about 2 weeks later, I'm in the kitchen. And the door opens up. It's quiet. And I look over, and Charlie has the longest, saddest face on. And I'm like, what's wrong, Charlie? And he said, Dad, I scratched the car. I said, you what? He said, I came in with the bicycle and I just fell over and I hit it, and he had a little cheer and I said, you what? And I ran out in the garage and he's following behind me kind of,
you know, sheepishly, and I looked, and sure enough, there was a scratch. And I said, I told you that we weren't going to ride the bicycles near Mom's. And I started slowing down, and then I found myself, put my arm around him, and I said, son, I'm so proud of you and glad that you came and told me that. Now, what's so remarkable is he has three siblings. One of his siblings is Jude. I mean, he could have gotten away with this. No problem. No problem. But he came and he told me the truth. And it, listen, that truth, his honesty, it disarmed me. Now, I'm just a natural father. I'm just a natural father. And so we talk about unleashing the momentum and the strength and help of God in our lives. It begins with us being truthful. Not hedging, not evasive, not half, not just saying, Father, I don't know what it is. Lord, maybe I've been lying to you. I've been giving a false impression. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You see, we confess, and then we turn away from it and say, Lord, help me to walk in the light, which is truth, as you are in the light. And the scripture says, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we not only have fellowship with one another, but we have the peace and the strength and the help of God in our lives. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here is where we're coming. So looking, regaining the momentum of God, it starts with humility. We talked about last week, being humble before God. And here's, see the connection? It takes humility to move to the next step of regaining the momentum and the help of God, and that is being honest. I'm going to tell the truth, the total truth. Listen, before I leave this moment, I want to say this. I'm responsible before God, but I just want to put it out there. There are some of us in here who need to find a pastor. You need to find a respected spiritual person, a Hope team member. You need to go somewhere, and you need to tell the whole truth. This is me. This is who I am. This is what's happening. And I know that's not prettier, but it is. So the grace and the help of God can be released over your life. Here's the experiment. You ready? And I totally ripped this off from Rebecca. I'm going to challenge you with it this week. Here it is. Read it with me. This week, pay attention to what you're saying. Now that, to your spouse, to your friends, to a coworker, to a boss. Slow down. Pay attention. Ask yourself, am I telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but it? Tell the total truth in a what? This is an important phrase in your notes. In a what? In a humble way. And let's just see what happens. You leave the rest to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you for your goodness. It's good to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the clarity. Lord, there has been some that come into this place saying, Lord, would you give me an answer? Lord, would you give me help? And you're bringing certain clarity. Now, Lord, I pray that you give us the grace and the ability to receive your help. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, in Jesus' name. All of us said, amen. Amen. God bless you.